This is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for the Fantasy Show, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese here with you. Good morning. Hope you are all well. Week 5 in the NFL is here. We have another early London game this morning as we get into all the injury news and notes. Start sits, of course, your fantasy questions, of course, at 590-590, the People's Text Line. We'll get to every single question either on or off the air before kickoff begins in bulk at 1 p.m. Eastern. Of course, the London game is just about to start in about 90 minutes. So if you want to get us those London-themed questions, I actually see a couple here already. So shoot us a text at 590-590, or you can tweet at us at SNS Alley with two L's at MattyMar89. But the inimitable Matt Marchese alongside me. And look, Marchese, before we get to fantasy football, I'll get that stuff in a sec. We have a lot to get to today. But I have to say this before my head explodes, okay? I cannot believe we are here on a Sunday morning and not in part discussing this particular Sunday morning, a game 3 for the Blue Jays, because instead, I have to say this, we got the worst professional sports choke job of the last 10 to 15 years last night at the Rogers Center. Like, that was flat out embarrassing. And honestly, I can't believe yet again we are talking about a major sports team in this town getting bounced in the most spectacular flame out humanly possible. Like, if you want to tie it to football, I guess we can. The only similar collapse I can think of in recent memory, obviously, is the Falcons in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. But if we limit it to just Toronto or even to all the sports franchise in this country, nothing else remotely comes close for me.
No, and that's what I was thinking about last night. Like, in this city, it's the new 4-1, right? And the 4-1 was maybe a little bit different, but in the same breath, they both suck. And if you get out to an 8-1 lead, you lose it, you don't deserve to win. It's pretty simple, pretty clear at that point. It's almost as if outside of the Raptors, because thank God the Raptors won something, because every other franchise in this city seemingly does not want to do squat. Like, that last night was awful. It was awful. As a new parent, I'm trying to curb my swearing because I need to get used to it, because I know my kid's going to end up repeating everything that I say, and right, not all of it is good that comes out of my mouth. I really had a hard time keeping those expletives in last night because it was so, it's like, it's 8-1, and I'm not the person that goes, oh, it's over, because I know better than that. Been a Bills fan for too long, been a Leafs fan for too long, been a Jays fan for too long, been a Raptors fan for too long. We know that you don't say that. But last night, I definitely didn't say it. And I was just, and I'm watching this collapse happen. And there's so many little things. It's one thing that leads to the next. And you can see it. And you look, and hindsight always 20/20, but you look back and see every little moment and the slow implosion of that baseball team. 28-3 is probably the closest thing, although the significance is a little bit different. But my God, 8-1 in a baseball game. You got to wrap that up.
Plain and simple. This is from Sarah Langs. And I just want to also say Sarah Langs has all of the support of everyone here at Sportsnet. She was recently diagnosed with ALS. She posted that on Twitter. So we all wish Sarah the absolute 1000% best. She is the best. So, but Sarah, one of the greatest things about Sarah's Twitter account at S Langs on Sports, she pulls out all sorts of crazy baseball stats. She pulled this one out last night. The only greater postseason comeback than the Mariners last night, down 8-1, were the 1929 Philadelphia Athletics in the Game 4 of the World Series. In 1929, Matt, that was almost 100 years ago. That is truly the awful cherry on top of everything last night. It's just, there's so many stats, right? Largest comeback win in MLB postseason history by a road team. Largest comeback win in MLB postseason history by a team attempting to clinch a playoff series. It's just, there's so many things wrong with what happened last night. And those are the kinds, we won't spend too much longer on this, but it's just, those are the kinds of losses that unmake teams, essentially, right? And I mean, and you can compare it to the whole 4-1 thing with Boston and so on with the Toronto Maple Leafs from a number of years ago. That itself was almost 10 years ago, which is crazy on its own. But that was, if the circumstances were so wildly different in terms of where these two teams, like expectations were for these two teams, I honestly, maybe it's recency bias, but I don't think there was a worse loss in the last like 15 years.
No, no question. And every stat you start to rhyme away with, you know, the Jays, I think they had won, like they had scored 9 or more runs like 18 times this year, and they were 18-0. And they had won 54 straight when scoring 9 runs or more, and they lose last night. And I read those stats out to my dad, who I was watching the game with last night. And he goes, well, it's Toronto sports for you, isn't it? and it's true. It's true. Outside of the Raptors, it's been a black hole here. It really has, with all the optimism and whatever. It's just been like, that was a thing that nightmares are made of. And I can guarantee you that none of those players slept well last night, especially the guys that came out of the bullpen.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like it's a little too on the nose that the thing that ended the Blue Jays season in the end was bullpen issues, because we knew, everyone and their mom knew that bullpen issues were a thing that was like a current undercurrent for the team basically the entire season. And a little too on the nose for me. But yeah, that, I don't know. We don't have to continue talking about it right now, because we do have a lot to get to for fantasy football. Again, there's another London game, Packers-Giants. So we'll get to all that straight ahead. And of course, your text messages as well at 590-590. I will say this. It wasn't great that certainly, so it's Sunday today. That game was on Saturday. They got blanked on Friday. And before that, on Thursday, Matt, we were all forced to endure Colts-Broncos. I know I sound like I'm just full of hyperbole this morning, but man, Colts Broncos was probably one of the worst football games I have ever seen. And somehow the Colts won that game. Like, Russell Wilson looks terrible. Apparently he has some kind of shoulder injury. He plans on playing through it. Matt Ryan looks terrible as well. He got sacked, I think, 6 times. He was picked off twice. Russell Wilson making incredible decisions, throwing the ball into the end zone. Nathaniel Hackett also making terrible coaching decisions with the timeouts and play calling. I honestly don't know what to make of either of these two teams. Beyond, if you have any sort of fantasy assets on either of these teams, I feel like they all should be getting a downgrade probably for the foreseeable future.
Well, I mean, in a sense, yes. That, firstly, to kind of jump on your point, I don't think you can be hyperbolic on how awful that game was.
It's terrible.
Like, here's how bad it was. While the game's happening, I think it was just before the second half started, and I'm an avid gambler, and I'm looking through the lines, and I'm like, those are good lines for Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson to each throw one touchdown. Like, they're gonna throw one touchdown each, right? Like, they have to, because you know, the Broncos they're going to score, and then Indy's going to have to throw the ball, or vice versa. Like they're going to get a passing touchdown each. I went to bed and I was like, this is done. I couldn't watch it. Show, I will watch the worst football games ever. I will watch them Thursday night. Like this week, this week coming, it's Bears and Commanders. Awful name. I will absolutely be watching that game. I'm a sucker. You're a sucker. We're all suckers for football. That was one of the worst things that I've ever seen in my life. My eyes were bleeding, I'm pretty sure. Now, from the fantasy perspective, Russell Wilson is unstartable at this point.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as if the Colts defense is decent. They're not as good as I thought they were going to be, but they're pretty decent. He couldn't do anything against that defense. Melvin Gordon played 40 snaps. Mike Boone played 30 snaps. Both of those guys are going to be startable. Mike Boone had 10 touches. I didn't get Gordon's numbers, but Gordon obviously is the lead guy. The biggest takeaway for me from that whole game is that Alec Pierce is going to be the hot waiver pickup this week. Back-to-back 80-plus yard weeks, and he had 61 the week before. This guy's a player. Second-round pick out of Cincinnati. And we were waiting for someone to to kind of take that wide receiver two role. We thought maybe it could be Paris Campbell. Maybe it was going to be Ashton Doolin. Maybe it was going to be Alec Pierce. It's definitely Alec Pierce. There's no question about it. Outside of that, show, like, I mean, maybe you can look at the field goal kickers. I guess that was the lone bright spot. If so. You had Brandon McManus, or I don't even know who's kicking for
Chase
Indian.
McLaughlin.
Oh, okay. I remember Chase McLaughlin, former Charger. See, that's how much I paid attention to that game because it was so bad. That's all you can take away from that game. Like, I know we don't need to spend too much on it, but my God, that was pathetic. It was absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, if you have shares of Jerry Jeudy in that Denver offense, I feel bad for you because, yeah, the it certainly seems like Cortland Sutton's going to get his. He still finished the game with 5 catches for 74 yards, so that's not too bad. And you're wondering about Melvin Gordon. He had 15 carries for 54 yards, and then he also had 3 receptions for 49 yards. So, not terrible. I think there were a couple of long screen plays that were set up in the end of the game, and so he did kind of make some hay in the last maybe like 5 minutes of that one. But yeah, the Denver offense not looking super great. And of course, Latavius Murray, he did not play on the short week after being signed off the Saints practice squad. I believe he will be worked into it going forward. It's just they felt that with the short week, that was not something they wanted to do necessarily. But just keep an eye on that because Latavius Murray might still be a factor going forward. And like you mentioned, Alec Pierce, 8 catches for 81 yards. Terrific stuff. Michael Pittman Jr., I think, is still, it's not like you're dropping him or trading him away, but 5 catches for 59 yards. I think Matt Ryan still looked his way pretty often. It's just, I think they were pretty determined not to let the number one guy for Indy beat them in this game when it comes to the Broncos D.
Yeah, Michael Pittman was, they did a pretty good job on Michael Pittman, and he had a couple of would-be catches that were knocked out like at the last second.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't think he's going to finish as a wide receiver one. Like both of us thought he was, like, and we're not the only ones, people. This was a pretty close to a consensus across the board that everybody thought that this guy was going to be, you know, in the conversation of a top 10, top 8 wide receiver. He did have the 8 targets. He's had his worst game in terms of targets is 6. And that was against Tennessee in week 3. He had 13 targets in week 1, 9 targets in week 2. That wasn't week 3. It was week 3. He missed a game earlier.
Yeah.
And he 6 targets and then 8 targets last week. He's there. It's just that was a tough matchup. That Broncos secondary, that whole Broncos defense is very good, and I think people are starting to realize that. So I'm less concerned about it. It's more just the QB play. And frankly, show the offensive line play was just horrible. It was absolutely horrible for the Colts. And they're missing a couple guys. Like, we know Anthony Costanzo retired and they've still been trying to replace him. That hasn't gone over all that well. They ended up losing Ryan Kelly during the game, which is also a big loss. So it's not great in Indy right now. And I don't think Matt Ryan is as bad as he's playing. But right now, he sucks. Like, there's no other way around it. Matt Ryan stinks right now.
Yeah, he has not played particularly well. That the Colts have won 2 games this season, I got to say, is incredibly impressive. Given how they have looked for the majority of 2022, they have won 2 games, I think, is frankly a miracle. But anyways.
One against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And one against the Chiefs.
Of all teams.
Killed the Bucs.
Yeah, of all teams. The Kansas City Chiefs getting knocked off by the Colts. Not this past week, but the week before. Let's get to some of these injury updates here. There's just a lot, like there is every single week. Adam Schefter tweeting, players out Sunday include Dak Prescott, Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, Tua Tagovailoa, Tyrod Taylor, Dawson Knox, DeAndre Swift, DJ Chark. Kyle Pitts, Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson. Actually, I missed that one. I was going to start Dotson today, so I got to bench him. And Rashad Bateman, a couple of kickers as well. Matt Prater, Jake Elliott. Brevin Jordan, of course, tight end Brevin Jordan. I see this one here. This is kind of cool. Commanders activating rookie running back Brian Robinson Jr. today, putting him in line to make his NFL debut Sunday against the Titans. That's crazy. Like, I honestly think, given all the stuff that happened with him, of course, being the victim of gunshot wounds earlier in the season, like before the season got started, that he is starting an NFL game. I'm not sure what his playing time will be like, but that he is actually active on the 53-man roster, that is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, it's not even about fantasy football at that point, even though I do think Brian Robinson is a good player. But the fact that he is back this quickly after, like you said, he got shot. Like this isn't like a pulled groin. He got shot. that's incredibly impressive. Based on playing time, what I did read, and I can't remember which of Schefter or Rappaport, I think it was Schefter that tweeted out. Sounds like he's going to play like 20 snaps today. But this is going to be something to monitor. I know I said this wasn't about fantasy, but this is the fantasy show, so let's be real. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but it's going to be a very curious backfield to see what Antonio Gibson's usage is once Brian Robinson's back, because they really like Robinson there. There's no question about that.
I see some other ins and outs here. Let's see. Alvin Kamara, Saints running back. He is expected to play against the Seahawks. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Hill had the quad injury. Waddle had the groin injury. Both listed as questionable. Both expected to play against the Jets, barring pregame setbacks. Wide receiver, Lions wide receiver Josh Reynolds is expected to play versus the Patriots. Amon-Ra St. Brown listed as questionable with an ankle injury, considered a pregame decision. And Tom Pelissero is saying that he is expected to play against the Patriots. David Montgomery is optimistic about playing today. Logan Thomas listed as questionable, is considered a game time decision. Russell Gage expected to play today. And Zay Jones with the Jaguars, who was a pretty popular waiver wire pickup a couple weeks ago, he is also expected to play. So a couple less names out, and
Did you mention Pitts in there?
I did. Yes, Pitts is out.
Okay.
Yeah, he was an early one. He was done early in the week, so you can get him in your I guess it depends on your league, but I think one of the best things to do, just on a general standpoint, and I like to do this every week if humanly possible, depending on your league, is if a guy gets ruled out as out early, put him in your IR spot if you can, because Yahoo and ESPN do things a little differently. I think Sleeper does as well. But Yahoo and ESPN, which I would say are the two more popular fantasy platforms, I believe Yahoo, if a guy is in the out position, you can then make your waiver moves. However, if a guy is not listed as out and he's still in the IR spot, I think Yahoo leagues, they prevent you from making any roster. Like, you can't pick anyone up until off the waiver wire, until you move that guy out of the out spot. Whereas in ESPN, you can leave a guy, even if he is completely healthy, as long as you had stashed him in the IR spot, if he changes to being fully healthy, you can just leave him in there until you take him out. So you kind of gain. I know that's kind of what the whole Tommy Pham thing was about earlier this season, about a guy abusing the injured reserve out stuff for a particular fantasy football league. So I guess check your constitution for your particular league, but that's always a good thing to be aware of, I would say, Matt.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely do that. And it's going to be interesting. Tight end's kind of a horrible place to be right now, especially with Logan Thomas, who is a guy I was probably going to be playing in some spots, being a true game time decision. Like, that is just a bit of trouble. Just a bit of trouble on a Sunday.
All right, well, let's start our start sits. And I'll ask you this. Are there any tight ends from this game you're thinking of starting? Are you thinking of starting Daniel Bellinger or Robert Tonyan? I think the answer is probably no, right?
I think Tonyan is a decent start. Bellinger is a little bit more of a punt play, in that you hope he scores a touchdown. But having said that, I mean, that's more of a dynasty stash. I think he's going to end up being really good, especially once they finally get a quarterback with the Giants. But other than that, no, I'm not really going out of my way to start Bellinger. Tonyan isn't bad, because Aaron Rodgers does look his way in and around the red zone. So he's always I wouldn't say always, but he's a decent bet to score a touchdown. So if you are really scrambling, he might be a guy that's there. But we already know where this conversation is going to go as it pertains to the New York Football Giants, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. Saquon Barkley, the dream of having him healthy for the entire season lives on again, and he leads the league in yards and attempts. He has 463 yards, 84 attempts. He basically has single-handedly led the Giants to a 3-1 start, like, essentially. And if they hadn't run into the Eagles, who are an absolute buzzsaw this year, they'd be winning the NFC East, which is honestly crazy. He averages 5.5 yards a carry, and he still factors into the passing game, which, outside of Barkley himself, stinks, right? So Saquon Barkley is as RB1 as RB1s get. But apart from Barkley, like, I don't know, you're not starting like David Sills or Richie James. I mean, I guess if you're like really desperate in a super deep league, you can start Richie James. But especially on a Sunday morning, like the early Sunday morning games in London, I personally try and avoid the risky dart throw plays if possible, because there are probably better plays available that are like of similar caliber that you could probably find, like, I don't know, like on a Sunday night or a Monday night.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just try and find, like, if Josh Palmer ends up being out, like, go pick up DeAndre Carter instead of playing, you know, Richie James. Like, that's how you operate in those types of situations. Just find the better quarterback with the lesser option, even if it's a guy like with Rashad Bateman out. If you want to play like DeMarcus Robinson or something, like that's the route you go. But yeah, the Giants are just, they're just a black hole on offense. And I don't blame Brian Daboll, who is the new head coach there, former Bills OC, go Bills. And it's just Daniel Jones stinks. He's just not good. And it's not because of, you know, the coaching around him. It's just, he's not a good quarterback. And the options are, and part of that is not all on him, because the options he has aren't that great. But Saquon Barkley is great, and you can fire up Saquon Barkley because he's going to get like a million touches because they have nobody to give the ball to. So I'm okay. I'm more than okay with Saquon. But even from the Green Bay side of things, I mean, show, if I had told you after week one that since then, actually, I'll ask the question instead.
Okay.
Where do you think that Aaron Rodgers ranks among quarterbacks after week one?
I mean, like, based on his numbers, I feel like he would have to be like in the, I don't know, outside of the top 20, I would guess.
Well, week one, he was outside the top 20. But since then, in terms of like from weeks two to four, he's QB 12.
Ooh, okay.
Or sorry, QB 12 the last 2 weeks.
Right.
The last 2 weeks. So he's gotten better. And I know everybody wants to talk about this. Oh, look how good the Giants defense has been. So they have played Ryan Tannehill, Cooper Rush, Baker Mayfield, and Justin Fields. Those are the quarterbacks that the New York Giants have played. Do we not think that there is a little bit of inflation in their numbers, and that despite whatever you may think of the Packers offense, it's way better than any of those offenses, and he's definitely better than all four of those quarterbacks?
I would think not.
Right? Like, Rodgers, I like Aaron Rodgers in this situation. I do. And the guy, I know we talked up Romeo Doubs last week, because mm-hmm. that was the hot waiver wire pick. I mean, he did catch a touchdown, but Alan Lazard went 6 for 116 last week on 8 targets. So I think you start Aaron Rodgers. I think you can start Dubs in a flex, and I think you can start Alan Lazard in like a back end wide receiver too. And then if he catches a touchdown, which again, against the Giants defense, who everybody thinks is very good, but I'm not convinced that they actually are. We'll see what happens today. But I think we're going to get a really good Aaron Rodgers performance. I think this Packers offense is starting to find its groove now.
Yeah, the Giants give up the least fantasy points to the wide receiver position in the entire NFL. That is a truly shocking statistic, but maybe Aaron Rodgers puts up a crooked number and that changes. I have Lazard and Dubs as a WR2 and WR3 respectively, but I think the upside for both of those guys is obviously much higher when you're playing the Giants, when you're playing certainly when Aaron Rodgers is throwing you the ball. Dubs specifically, I mean, we, like you said, we talk him up a lot, but, you know, again, like I said, WR3 with a little more upside, which I think is fine. Like, if you get in a half PPR league, if you get maybe 8 or more points, that seems to me about right from someone like Romeo Doubs in week 5. And Christian Watson, still not there for me yet. I think gets a sit. I know he did get a rushing touchdown, and even with that, he still wasn't really a super reliable source of points for you. So, like, maybe if you're like in a DFS league, you need to fill out the very bottom of your lineup. Maybe you want to do Christian Watson, or if you're like a gambler and you want to bet on someone to score an anytime touchdown, I guess you could do worse than Christian Watson. But in your redraft leagues, I would pass on him. Let's go to our next start sit: Steelers at your Bills, Marchese. And right now, let's start with the Steelers. The Kenny Pickett era, it's officially here. Mitch Trubisky was relieved at the start of the second half against the Jets, and the crowd was very pleased. It wasn't the most even of debuts, right? He had, I think he went 10 for 13, 120 yards. We had 2 rushing touchdowns. He also had 3 interceptions. Having said that, now, you know, he gets a full week under center at practice. Unfortunately, he gets to play the Buffalo Bills. So I'm not so sure you want to start Kenny Pickett today. There probably will be better spot starts for someone like Pickett going forward. If you're in a dynasty league, certainly you want to be holding on to him. But apart from that, I think everyone on this Pittsburgh offense, Najee Harris, RB2 for me, it's a bit of a middling season. We'll see how the change of QB works out for him. Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, though, are where the real question marks for me reside on this Pittsburgh offense, because Deontay looked like he was more or less ignored by Kenny Pickett when Pickett came in last week. And George Pickens, I think, ended the week with over 100 yards. So I'm curious where you fall on this. I still, for now, unless we see in a full game things completely radically change, I'm still going to have Deontay Johnson over Pickens slightly, but not by a lot.
Yeah, it's a really tough week. I mean, like you said, going up against the Bills defense, as banged up as the Bills defense is, and they're going to be missing potentially Tremaine Edmonds in the middle of that defense, which is a massive loss. They're going to be missing Jordan Poyer, who's out. Micah Hyde's out for the season. They still don't have Tre'Davious White. Benford, the rookie corner, he's out. Like, they're really banged up in that secondary, but the pass rush is still really good. So that's where my concern lies. But man, I think I'm actually starting Adam Thielen over Deontay Johnson in one of my leagues. And Thielen has a tough matchup. I just don't know that Kenny Pickett can get these guys the ball. I do agree that that Johnson and Pickens, we're going to have a tough one with Pickett. And Pickens is going to drive me nuts all year. I'm telling you that right now. But Deontay Johnson and George Pickens are pretty close. Like, Pickens had his first 100-yard receiving game last week. But at this point, are any I know you had Najee as an RB2, and that's probably right. I feel like this week he's probably, dare I say, closer to a flex play. I think that no Steeler is better than a flex play this week. And Pat Freiermuth is probably the only guy that you look at and go, okay, I can see him being top 10 at his position. And why is that, Show? Because the tight end position sucks. So that's where I'm going with it. It's downgrade everybody on that Steelers offense. And I think that Kenny Pickett is in for a very, very rough first NFL start.
Yeah, I think you're right on you're bang on him on Freiermuth. He had a target share of over 30% in the second half alone. Now, is that a super small sample size? Absolutely. But when you see those kinds of things, especially for rookies, and we often say this, right? Rookies, their safety blanket is often either a running back catching a screen pass or something like that, or a dump off, or the tight end. And the tight end position seems to be Kenny Pickett's safety blanket, at least for now. So if that continues, Pat Freiermuth might have another path to be a bona fide TE1 because, I mean, like you said, the TE landscape is pretty barren. For the Buffalo Bills, probably a relatively short conversation, actually, because you're still starting Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs as QB1, WR1. Devin Singletary, yes, the backfield is his to lose. Having said that, it's like a pretty low bar, right? It's a relatively speaking, he's a flex play. He had 11 carries for 49 yards, 4 catches for 47 yards. He was down 5 receptions from the 9 he had back in week 3. It was still, it's an okay flex output. It just, you can't expect anything beyond flex output from Devin Singletary at this point, because the guy running the ball more often than not, more successfully, is Josh Allen himself.
Yeah, and especially in the red zone. Josh Allen last week had the rushing touchdown. I also do believe that just this offense as a whole will be better. You know, there's no rain expected in the forecast today, and that was a huge factor in the game between the Bills and the Ravens. Gabe Davis is the one to watch this week, and we'll see if Isaiah McKenzie plays. And it feels like Davis's ankle is healed, and I think that was something that bugged him. And I do wonder if he had tweaked something after week one, because obviously he didn't play in week two, and the last 2 weeks he's been getting a lot of cardio and not a lot of work done in the game. So I wonder if the ankle is finally ready to go. Obviously, no Jameson Crowder, broke his ankle. He's done for a bit. McKenzie's in concussion protocol. He could still clear. No Dawson Knox is a big one. So if you're another guy, if you're looking for a really, really big punt play, Quentin Morris, who is a tight end, the next man up in that Bills offense. Not a household name by any stretch of the imagination, but somebody that could be interesting. And the one guy, show, and I know I keep harping on it because I really like him, but he's not getting the workload that I thought, especially early. If all these guys are out, what is James Cook's role in this offense? Do you see him used out of the slot with Isaiah McKenzie and Jameson Crowder out? I know Khalil Shakir is there. They called up Isaiah Hodgins. If you have that much faith in James Cook, this is the game of all the games that James Cook should get some run.
You know, what's going to happen is that Stephon Diggs is just going to get like 35 targets. Like the Josh Allen's going to throw the ball 45 times and 35 of those passes will go to Stephon Diggs. That's what's going to happen today.
That would be the least surprising thing that probably happened. That and Saquon Barkley getting 35,000 touches.
Yeah, exactly.
Packers.
Yeah, exactly. Let's squeeze in one more in before we take a quick break. Chargers at Browns. Again, I think a relatively short conversation when it comes to the Chargers, because you're starting Austin Ekeler. Hadn't been the season I think fantasy managers wanted from their likely third or fourth overall pick. And then he scored, I think three times last week, two on the ground and one in the air. He was absolutely phenomenal. So that's always good to see. Good to see one of your top draft picks bouncing back after a rough couple of weeks. So that's always good. Justin Herbert is a QB1, period. No Keenan Allen today, which I get, again, every time Keenan Allen is out, you say to yourself, well, it must be Mike Williams' week. Well, it's one of those things where is it an odd number week or an even number week? Otherwise, we might not see Mike Williams produce that much. I still think because of sheer target share, Mike Williams, if no Keenan Allen, has to be started. But I mean, that's he is so talented. It's so infuriating because you know he is talented and he still manages to somehow disappear. This giant athletic dude somehow manages to disappear off your screen for like quarters at a time. It's baffling.
So Keenan Allen's basically missed three games, right? Like he played in like one full game, then he got hurt in the second game and he hasn't played since. So Mike Williams right now is wide. This is mind-boggling. And I know it's still not horrible, but it's certainly not what we expected. According to Fantasy Pros, Mike Williams in half PPR is wide receiver 21. He is sandwiched between Devin Duvernay and Jahan Dotson.
That's terrible.
So it's not. This is a player that finished last year, I believe, as wide receiver 14. And yes, I understand 21 is a far cry from 14, but Mike Williams through the first like 5 weeks of last year was wide receiver 2.
Yeah.
I don't know what has happened here. We've seen this disappearing act a little bit from Mike Williams in the past, which is why he is drafted where he is every year. Because you expect it, but it doesn't always happen. And I look at this situation like, do I think that Mike Williams is going to have a good game? Sure, I do. Can I guarantee that? Absolutely not. The other options in this offense, it looks like Donald Parham is going to be back. And the last time we saw him on an NFL field was when he got hurt last year. But Gerald Everett probably takes a little bit of a tick down just because of Parham in the red zone. Josh Palmer, we're still not sure if he's going to play. He's questionable. If he doesn't, I think DeAndre Carter is a good play this week. The Browns defense, just they hemorrhage points. I'm stunned at how many points that they give up. And to not good teams, the Chargers are a good team. I think this is going to be a really high scoring game here.
I'll say this on Gerald Everett at the very least. The Browns are better than the Jags when it comes to not giving up a ton of points to the tight end position. And against the Jags, Everett was held to 2 catches for 25 yards back in week 3. He did have 6 targets in that game, but if Parham is back against the matchup for tight ends, maybe TE2 with some upside that you hope he scores a TD and that's about it. From the Browns' perspective, yeah, I mean, Nick Chubb, it's any conversation for the Browns this year, as long as Nick Chubb is healthy, even when Deshaun Watson does eventually come back in like, 3 or 4 weeks, I think it'll still be Nick Chubb's offense because he is just an absolute engine. And the Chargers also give up the third most points to running backs. You're basically starting both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, RB1, RB2 today, I'm saying, for Chubb and Hunt. I think Amari Cooper and David Njoku, because you're not starting Donovan Peoples-Jones, you're not starting David Bell, you're starting Amari Cooper and Njoku, but still, those guys are still, they should be your secondary options, I would think, right? Like WR2 status, like middling WR2 status, for Amari Cooper. David Njoku has been pretty good, right? He's got into that TE2 range a couple of times. Again, tough matchup against Derwin James, who I imagine is going to be the guy seeing Njoku for much of today, like much like he saw Travis Kelce, and we saw what happened in that game and on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago. But still, I think Njoku third on the team in routes run. He has 112 routes run. He plays on 90% of the team snaps. For a guy you probably either picked up off of waivers or like at the very end of your draft, it's not bad production from your tight end spot.
Yeah, he's been tight end five since that dud in week one. The week that I picked him to go off was week one, and he's been really good ever since. So I was like kind of like half right, three quarters right on David Njoku. He's been really good. The athletic profile has always been there. That's certainly not been the issue. But I agree with everything that you say there. Like Amari Cooper, he had a dud last week after back-to-back 100-yard games. I think there's a bounce back just because the Chargers defense is not as good as we thought it was going to be. And like you mentioned, against the run, it's been just horrible. Like they're up there with the Lions among worst teams against the run. So, those are all the guys that you're starting. After that, I mean, yeah, if you're punting, it's Donovan Peoples-Jones before David Bell. But even that, I'm not comfortable with. There's probably some better options on your waiver wire.
I would think so. Yeah, I would absolutely think so. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue start sits. And don't forget, send us your text line questions for the People's Text Line. Any fantasy football start sit question you have, you can text us at 590-590. Leave your name and location. We'll get to all your questions either before the London game starts at 9:30 a.m. Eastern in about an hour's time from now, or before the 1 p.m. kickoffs if you don't have any London questions. We will get to every single question before 1 p.m. kickoff goes across the Sportsnet Radio Network. But again, you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you until 10 a.m. Eastern. Every start, sit, injuries, news and notes, and of course, your text line questions, the People's Text Line. You can text us at 590-590, name and location. You can also tweet at us at SNS Ali with two L's at Maddie Mar 89. We'll answer as many text line questions as humanly possible before the London game kicks off in about 45 minutes or before the 1 p.m. games kick off later this afternoon. But Matt, let's continue our start sits here on the Fantasy Show. Texans at Jaguars is the next one up. Damian Pierce looks like he has pretty solidly taken control of the backfield. He finished last week with a 25.9 point performance. He had a giant touchdown run. He finished as the RB5 last week. The Jags defense gives up an average of 17 points per game to opposing running backs. He handled literally all rushing attempts for the Texans last week, and he had 22 opportunities, rushing attempts and targets to Burkhead's five. It is Damian Pierce's backfield. It took a while, but it is his backfield, so you're starting him. And you're starting Brandon Cooks, who also found the end zone as well. But I don't know. Like, do you really want to start like Nico Collins at this point? Probably not. Nope. It's just not consistent enough for me. So it really is just Pierce and Cooks at this point.
Yeah, you could run down the list, and I'd go nope, 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 nope. I will say this about Damian Pierce: I honestly didn't think that this was coming. Could be sometimes players are put into good situations, and the Texans are not a great football team. And sometimes we overvalue players because of the situation rather than the talent that they have. If you read a lot of what happened at Florida, Pierce was underused by the Gators. And now at the NFL level, he's really shown up. And since week one, which, by the way, when we look back at week one and that Rex Burkhead snap share and target share and rushing attempts, is that not one of the biggest outlier things that we've seen all year, considering probably how much Damian Pierce he's gotten? Like, what a disaster that was. Anyway, hats off to Damian Pierce. He's been really good. But yes, Cooks, Pierce, and that is about it.
Yeah, Collins did have 11.2 points in week four and half PPR leagues, but it's just that consistency is not going to be there enough for you to rely on that from a week to week basis. So I would not recommend starting Nico Collins. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I think you can probably be... Trevor Lawrence looked abysmal in the rain, but I don't think it's going to rain here, so you can feel okay about starting him. You can still feel okay about starting James Robinson, certainly. He is... the entire Jacksonville offense last week was pretty terrible, but I expect to bounce back today against the Texans. And you look at Travis Etienne, and he's like the pass-catching back, so... Even though he did have more opportunities than James Robinson last week, I think it was largely because of game script. And if there is a positive game script, based on what we have seen so far in this relatively young season, I would expect that means the positive game script to go James Robinson's way. Having said that, Christian Kirk, I still think, is a slam dunk every week play at this point, right? Like, Trevor Lawrence basically force feeds this guy the ball as much as he humanly can. So as long as you can, I would start Christian Kirk. It's that simple for me.
Yeah, and I'll give you credit because you had Christian Kirk finishing in your top 12 this year. I did not. He's been really good. And the dud last week, the Eagles defense is good. Like, people need – we're there now with the Eagles defense. It's good. The pass rush is good. Trevor Lawrence had a tough week. You talked about the weather was not very good last week. I think this is just wheels up for the Jags offense this week. Like you mentioned, the Texans just – they're not very good. I also like Zay Jones in a flex spot this week. He sat out last week, but he's been a pretty, so actually, did he play last week? I can't even remember, because that was certainly not a game that I watched to in its entirety, just because of the way that the game went.
You gotta watch Red Zone. Red Zone's the way to go.
I've got the Bills on one screen. That's part of the issue. So I'm flipping on my computer between other games. It gets a little bit dicey. Sometimes I have a third screen set up,
right?
Because I'm a nutcase. Harder when you have a newborn.
Also true.
We managed to work our way through it. The last time that we did see Zay Jones was against the Chargers, and he had 11 targets, which he turned into 10 receptions for 85 yards and a touchdown. I think Zay Jones is a decent start today, because I do believe that the game script does go in the way of the running backs, but they're going to have to score points at the beginning of the game to get ahead. Zay Jones in 2 of 3 games has 65 or more yards, and in those games has at least 6 catches and 9 targets. So I think there's a real positive for Zay Jones. And in the game that he had less than 65 yards was that blowout against the Colts, which they really didn't need his services.
I'll also say, when it comes to potential other kind of flash in the pans, Jamal Agnew, he did score, but before this past week, he was essentially targeted once per game. So I would not, kind of in the same conversation as Nico Collins, I would not recommend burning like a high waiver priority or tons of fab dollars on Agnew for now. I mean, if it continues, then maybe we can have that conversation next week or the week after, but for now, it's Christian Kirk, it's Zay Jones, and then it's probably anyone else is kind of a bit of a crapshoot there. Let's continue with the start sits. Bears at Vikings, the next one up. Justin Fields, unfortunately, the unfortunate thing is that the Bears offense in general just looks pretty awful, and it's further muddied today by the fact that Khalil Herbert is not going to be handling all the touches, because it does look like David Montgomery is going to play. If he does suit up, I guess you can start him as a flex, but given that he truly is a game time decision today, even though it is expected that he plays, whenever you see those kinds of tags, I imagine, like, for me, that means he's probably going to be in some part, way, shape, or form, he's going to be limited. And on top of that, the Bears offense has not looked great this season. So I don't know. The entirety of the Bears offense gets downgraded to essentially flex plays at best for me, even Khalil Herbert, like RB3, I suppose, if you really want to be optimistic.
Yeah. And of course, last week, Darnell Mooney, because everybody's sitting him at that point last week. And I believe he had 4 catches for 94 yards. So of course he did, because that's the way fantasy football works. 4 catches, 94 yards on 5 targets. I mean, that volume is not there, so I agree with you. Mooney is kind of a punt play in the flex spot this week. But as it pertains to the running backs, Minnesota's given up the 6th most points per game to opposing running backs. So I do agree the workload is probably not there, but I would probably start both of those guys in the flex. David Montgomery, when he plays, has been really good, and so is Khalil Herbert. So if they're getting... They may cancel each other out a little bit, but there is still the opportunity for both of them to get a fairly decent workload. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if David Montgomery is like 80% and he's playing. I would not be surprised if both guys get 15 touches each. That's just how this offense operates. Are they going to have to play from behind against the Vikings? Probably. But they'll use Herbert in the passing game. They'll definitely use Montgomery in the passing game. So I do think there's some flex value there. But I like you, have a really hard time putting them as anything more than that.
If I could just start the Bears running back, if I could start Bears RB this week, I would feel so good about it. I'd feel fantastic about it.
Yes, but team running back. Yeah, I like it.
Exactly, yeah. If you could start the team running back for the Chicago Bears, I'd feel fantastic. But because you have to pick one of these guys, more than likely, or if you want to start both of them, you're essentially burning a roster spot on one of them maybe not being great. That's the problem, right? I still think, for me, because Khalil Herbert is healthy, he's probably in line for a pretty sizable workload still, but sizable for a team that may not see the field all that much, especially if they're playing from behind, like you said. Like, will they be forced to have Justin Fields just continually hurl the ball? And that, if that's the case, that doesn't bode well, I think, for either Montgomery or Herbert. But still, I'm ranking Herbert as a higher end RB3 this week, and you're hoping for more. And same goes for Montgomery, flex play. And again, you're hoping he's healthy, and maybe it's a better result in weeks to come. On the other side of the ball here, Minnesota Vikings, Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins, and Justin Jefferson, I think, are all pretty good starts against the Chicago Bears. I know Kirk Cousins, he's been kind of middling at best so far this season. The Bears also do like to play that kind of, what's the word, like ball control, keep away type of offense with the running backs. Having said that, if the Vikings get out to an early lead with Justin Jefferson or Thielen or someone, then that might change. I think Cousins is just outside the top 12, top 13 this week, just, but still, I think you can start him as a QB1, especially in two QB leagues, and you can probably feel better about starting him. And even in traditional one QB leagues, maybe he's like just outside the top 12, top 13, like I said. But receiving options here, Adam Thielen, he's a flex play, maybe Irv Smith Jr., I'd probably sit him. It's the Justin Jefferson show more often than not. And I'm not sure how often I want to be relying on someone like Adam Thielen these days.
Yeah, he's been good the last 2 weeks, but this is a tough matchup. The Bears defense has allowed the 31st least amount of points per game to the wide receiver position. They're 21st against opposing quarterbacks. Running backs is where they've struggled a little bit, but tight ends have been really good against. And opposing defenses, obviously, because Justin Fields and that offense hasn't been overly good. But Adam Thielen, in his last two games that he's played against the Bears — he did not play against the Bears last year — so the last two games he's played, he has 3 touchdowns against them. So I do think that he's a decent bet to score today. I don't know if this game is going to be close, but it could be a situation where, you know, Thielen plays, gets his 6 or 7 targets, and then you're in a good spot. He's just been a really curious case, because after the first game, everybody kind of went, are they going to throw the ball to Adam Thielen? Because he only had the 3 catches for 36 yards. But since then, he's gone 4 catches, 52 yards. Then he went 6 catches, 61 yards and a touchdown. And last week, 8 catches, 72 yards. And in those games, those 3 games, he has 7, 8, and 9 targets. So the target share is going up, and which is good for him. I do think he's going to get some work. I do like Adam Thielen in this game, in the wide receiver 3 conversation, and certainly as a flex.
Yeah, certainly as a flex. That's where I got Adam Thielen this week. And yeah, if you want to bump him up to a WR3 this week, it's probably not the worst thing in the world against the Chicago Bears, whose offense have, to say the least, struggled so far this season. Before we go, let's do one more. Lions at Patriots. A lot of injuries in this one. So the Lions, looks like Amon-Ra St. Brown could play, but again, it's worth noting the Lions have a bye next week, so they might feel better about holding him out just to be on the safe side. If that's the case, Josh Reynolds looks like he will play. So if he plays, I think you can feel good about starting him, especially because, again, for the second straight week, no DJ Chark. TJ Hawkinson had an absolutely monster week last week, so I hope you had him in your starting lineup, and I hope you. I wish that you did not have to play against him like I did last week. So Godspeed if you have TJ Hawkinson. He's a TE1, especially with all these guys out. Jared Goff, like you said last week, Matt, Jared Goff has to throw the ball to somebody, and last week it ended up being, well, a whole bunch of people, but last week it certainly ended up being TJ Hawkinson as one of the primary beneficiaries. Josh Reynolds looked pretty good. No DeAndre Swift. if he, well, he is out. So Jamal Williams means he's probably a mid-tier RB2 with upside. So still a lot of viable options on the Lions, despite a number of these guys being out. And Jared Goff, maybe expect some lower numbers against the Patriots defense that has been pretty stout, all things considered. But still, I think in two QB leagues, you can certainly more than fire up Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is QB5, show. I can't believe in 2022 that I'm saying that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I'm going to say that all year, that he's QB, that I can't believe I'm saying that in 2022. But the Lions offense is just rolled. You know, you mentioned the injuries. No Swift last week, no Amon-Ra St. Brown last week, no DJ Chark last week. And it's like that offense didn't miss a beat. I believe they're the highest scoring offense in the league. They're a fun team to watch, not only because of their offense, but their defense is horrible. So it's great. I love it. It's the best. And I think Jared Goff is in line for a decent start today. And TJ Hockenson, or as one of my shirts eloquently labels him, the Incredible Hawk, was incredible last week. I think, and New England's given up the 7th most points per game to opposing tight ends. I think you lock in TJ Hockenson as a top 3 fantasy tight ends.
Ooh, there you go. I mean, then again, like we always say, the bar for being top 3 after like Travis Kelce and I guess like Mark Andrews, not super high, but I do like it. I like the optimism. On the Patriots side of things, Mac Jones is out and Brian Hoyer is on the IR. So it is Bailey Zapp time. Get ready to be zapped today, Marchese.
Nice. He's going yes.
to, I don't know if he's going to be fantasy relevant, but it is going to be kind of fun to see a rookie play. I don't know. I just kind of enjoy seeing rookies play. But still, I think, the running game is usually a rookie's best friend, along with tight ends. I don't know how much you want to put some stock into Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith. However, you can feel good about starting Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. I would say they're probably both RB2s today, just because you know they're going to run the ball just as much as they humanly possibly can. And they actually both looked pretty good last week, too, I would say.
Yeah, they were. Last week, Stevenson was running back 15. Harris was running back 17. Actually, that's them the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So that includes a Mac Jones start as well. Harris is RB15 on the year. Stevenson is RB29 on the year. But we're seeing Stevenson get the work. We saw him used in the passing game when Bailey Zapp came in. Listen, Detroit stinks. They're the worst against quarterbacks. They're the second worst against running backs. They're the 6th worst against wide receivers. They're the 9th worst against tight ends. The only position in which they are decent against is kickers. And who cares? So I'm curious to see, like, if Jacoby Myers plays today. I think he might be a decent start in PPR and half PPR formats, just because, again, they got it, like we said with TJ Hockenson, they got to throw the ball to somebody. But the both running backs, I think you could. I'm starting both running backs in multiple leagues because I have them on the same team. I'm starting them in multiple leagues, and I think that they're both going to have really good days, like over 60, 70 total yards. Like, I think we're going to see a lot of these running backs, and I believe both of them will be used in the passing game today.
I'm curious to see what the Patriots offense looks like today. I think Andrew Callahan, who writes for the Boston Herald, he's a Patriots beat reporter. He did say that Myers is expected to play against the Lions. He has missed 2 straight games with a knee injury, but something that happened, I think it was yesterday, that the Patriots did activate Tyquan Thornton off of injured reserve, and he's expected to play today. I wonder how much Thornton is going to be used. That was someone you and I talked about on the waiver wire pod earlier last week about someone to stash. Well, he was someone who had a pretty buzzy training camp / preseason, and then he got injured with a collarbone injury. He's a smaller dude, but he is like a pretty fast guy as well. Maybe DFS-wise, I wouldn't mind throwing Tyquan Thornton out there, but that's just a name to watch, because if he does play well, then, hey, there could be, like, you know, you talked about, like, DeAndre Carter earlier or like, the Richie James play in the Giants, the London game today. If you're looking for end-of-lineup guys to grab off the wire, I bet you could probably do a lot worse than Tyquan Thornton right now.
Yeah, he's going to be the deep threat guy, right? And this may be more of a play for when Mac Jones comes back, but certainly a guy that you can maybe get ahead of everybody else and grab him sooner rather than later and stash him, like you said. He did have a good camp. He was pretty decent. So be interesting to see what his usage is today. If, in fact, he does play, it looks like he might. Jacoby Myers is still the wide receiver 1 here for me, but Thornton offers an element that this team doesn't have, and that's speed on the outside.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's something this Patriots offense desperately needs, whether it's Mac Jones or Zapp or anyone else back there. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will get to the People's text line at 590-590. See a whole bunch of texts here. So shoot us some more at 590-590, name and location. We'll get to as many as we humanly possibly can in the next segment. And if we don't get to any on the air, we will answer all of them before the 1 p.m. kickoffs later this afternoon. But the People's text line next on the Fantasy Show. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese with you. One more hour to go here across the network as we discuss week 5 in the NFL. It's here. This is a game in London in about half an hour. Kickoff goes between the Giants and the Packers. And still, all your injury news and notes, start sits, and of course, the People's text line at 590-590. Leave your name and location. You can also tweet at us at SNS Alley with two L's or at Maddie Mar 89. But Matt, you ready to do some texts?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's text line.
Okay, so like, you guys know the drill, 590-590, name and location. And like I said, if we don't get to all of your text messages on the air, we will get to as many as we can off the air before, well, not as many, all of them, before 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to just scan real quick for some London-themed questions. Actually, here's one. Here's actually the very first one from Stephen East York. Sending this one in pregame here. Steve from East York, again for the early game. Should I start Rodgers or should I wait and start Jared Goff? Thanks, guys. So that's not a bad question, actually.
That's a tough one.
I would like to say start Jared Goff because it's crazy that he's had a better season to date, but it's so hard to bench Aaron Rodgers.
I think the tougher matchup resides with the Patriots defense, so I'm gonna actually lean Aaron Rodgers in this one.
All right, so you start Rodgers because of the matchup for Goff against New England. Yeah, I think I'm probably right.
It does feel like a flip a coin thing, though. It's really close.
It's probably right because the Giants defense, like you said, has been stingy this year. Having said that, the Patriots defense has been even more stingy. And we know that Bill Belichick does like to take away the best offensive weapon. I would imagine the best offensive weapon, if you had to guess, the best offensive weapon for the Lions this week is TJ Hockenson, I would think, right?
Unless Amon-Ra St. Brown plays, but I think he is going to play. I do. So I think they'll take him away. And if not, you're right. They're going to try and take TJ Hockenson out of the game plan.
Let's see. Get some more text line questions. Oh, here we go. Al from Uxbridge. He needs a flex for his half-point PPR league. Tyler Allgeier or Romeo Doubs? He is worried about stacking too many players in the Green Bay game. He also has Lazard and A.J. Dillon. Does that make a difference?
Yeah. Allgeier's got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today.
Yeah.
That's my concern. Based on those two, I know you don't like to... In case the Packers offense goes into the tank today, which I don't think it's going to, I think you have to start Dubs just because I hate the matchup for Allgeier.
Yeah, you know what? It's tough, right, Al? Because you look at the rest of his matchup, and if you're starting, like, I don't know how... I personally am leery of starting more than two guys from the same team in any given week just because if something goes wrong for that offense... Then you're screwed, essentially, right? Like think about it like this. If you started, let's say, Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk, and James Robinson, all of whom who have had very good seasons, if you started all three of those guys last week, you probably lost your week, right?
Yep. But that happens, though. And that's the risk that you run. In this case, though, because Allgeier, the matchup isn't as good, that's why I lean Dubs in this one.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with that one, too. Let's see here. I see a couple. Oh, here. This one was from Robbie in Cayuga, which I mean, it's from a relatively close by area code, so I assume Cayuga is in Ontario. But
yeah.
I see one here, Robbie. He says, he actually has two questions, but I'll answer this one first. A.J. Dillon or Devin Duvernay?
Ooh. Huh. The Bengals defense has been better than I thought when I was going through my notes. I was actually kind of surprised at how good that they've been, but in the same breath, like, I feel like you still got to go AJ Dillon, because the offense runs through AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. I'm going to go AJ Dillon. I think he's good for a touchdown this week.
I'm going to go Devin Duvernay because Bateman is out. If Bateman was playing, I'd be like, absolutely no chance. Are you going Devin Duvernay? But because he is officially out, he's not going to play. I'm going to go Duvernay because the Bengals defense, like, it's been okay. It's been fine. But I don't know. Lamar Jackson's been throwing the ball a little bit better. I know the first guy in that offense, even when Bateman is healthy, is still Mark Andrews. And it's going to be the case probably until they both retire, I would imagine. But still, I'm going to go Duvernay just because Bateman is out this week. I like that opportunity for him. Robbie also asked for kind of a follow-up question. Travis Etienne or Devin Duvernay? I think Duvernay again for me.
Yeah, I think Duvernay in that one. By the way, show Cayuga for your own reference point. Mm-hmm. A lot south of Hamilton, out near Port Dover area. So not far from the water.
Okay. I've been to Port Dover, so it's close to Port Dover. All right.
Based on this map, it doesn't look very far.
Okay,
but
so what you're saying is
we know what maps look like.
You've also not been to Cayuga, is what you're saying.
No, but I want to say that, like, Marty McSorley is from Cayuga.
Really? Okay.
I believe so. I'm going to look that up. We are totally off the rails here. That's funny. I love it. It's just what we do. I believe Marty McSorley grew up in Cayuga.
Oh, so. There you go. Okay, cool.
There we go.
Let's see. Hey, guys. Rob and Kira, I need a flex play for standard PPR. Okay, so a couple options here. Dubs, Curtis Samuel, Allgaier, or Montgomery. I assume that's David Montgomery. Not a lot of Montgomerys in fantasy football this year. So, yeah, Dubs, Curtis Samuel, Allgaier, Montgomery. I think we've probably ruled out Allgaier because of, like you said, the matchup against the Bucks later today. So, flex play for so standard PPR, so a full PPR league, I guess. Dubs, Samuel, Montgomery.
I think I'm going Curtis Samuel. No Jahan Dotson this week, and Logan Thomas may be out as well. I think that there's a lot of work for Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin, and Tennessee's defense has not been very good to opposing wide receivers. Oof, I'll go Curtis Samuel.
Terry McLaurin has, like, through, I think, no fault of his own, he's not been very good. Right? Like, it's just...
Well, Carson Wentz stinks again, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that lasted long.
Yeah, he's kind of going back and forth in between turning back into a pumpkin and not, kind of. I still think, like, there's enough passing volume to support a lot of these guys there. It's just, you're talking about, like, the quality of the passes. I don't know that they're all super high, but I don't know. Maybe things do turn around a little bit for both Samuel. Well, Samuel's been pretty good, but for Scary Terry and maybe Logan Thomas if he plays with no Jahan Dotson. So some more targets to be spread around against other guys. Eddie from Angus. Good morning, boys. A couple of questions today. Good morning, Eddie. A half PPR for running back. Actually, you asked two questions concerning this early game, which starts in about 15 minutes. Jamal Williams or A.J. Dillon for the flex play. So let's start with that one. Half PPR.
I think you go Jamal Williams. Just he gets into the end zone seemingly every game, and he was really good last week in the matchup against Seattle. He's the clear guy with DeAndre Swift out, whereas Dillon, even though the touches might be of higher value in the Green Bay backfield because of how they run it, I still am going to lean Jamal Williams here.
I think I'm going to lean Jamal Williams too. It is a tough matchup against the Patriots defense, but then again, like, they're not going to have Jared Goff throw the ball like 60 times essentially, right? So I think, yeah, I'm going to lean Jamal Williams. And then the flex play for Eddie, again, half point PPR is Dubs or Woods. So Romeo Dubs or Bobby Trees.
I like Bobby Trees. The matchup against Washington is a pretty decent one. And he's been good. I know you have him in our work league, which, by the way, is going to be disastrous for me this week, as I'll tell you who I'm starting later on. That's a nice little tease because everybody's going to be shocked. But Robert Woods, I know the target volume wasn't there last week, but he did have 30 yards and the touchdown. Treylon Burks is out. He's on the IR. So I think you're in a good spot to start Robert Woods. He's had at least 5 targets in each of the last 3 games, and 2 games ago against Vegas, he had 9, but he's going to be the clear, clear number one guy in that offense right now.
Matt, in our work league, I have Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, DJ Chark, and Jahan Dotson, all of whom are out. So it's not looking good. Not looking good for
that's
me.
That's not good. Mine's not much better, but no. that's not very good.
Let's see. Let's continue scanning here. There's no name on this one, but this one looks like it's from a Calgary area code. Good morning, guys. Good morning. Flex spot, Dubs or Hunt? And if this is Kareem Hunt, I think you got to go Kareem Hunt, right?
Oh yeah, it's Kareem Hunt for me. That's a good matchup against the Chargers run defense, which is awful. Nick Chubb is the clear guy there, but Kareem Hunt is a really good start because I think the volume's going to be there this week.
I think so too. Yeah, I that one I agree with. Jesse from Woodbridge, nice to see your text again, Jesse. Good morning, guys. Do I start Robert Tonyan or Hunter Henry? Actually, he has a couple other questions, but let's do that one first. I'm not sure what kind of format this league is, but he just asks tight end Tonyan or Henry.
I think either way, it's Tonyan. I just think that I'm attaching him to the better quarterback and the better offense. Hunter Henry's he's been invisible. I'll go Robert Tonyan.
And the other, I'm going to go Tonyan as well. Hunter Henry, last year, he was very touchdown dependent, but he just also caught a lot of touchdowns, so he was pretty valuable. This year, he's not catching touchdowns, and so he is otherwise pretty much non-existent for a Patriots offense that just also isn't very good. So, yeah, I'm going with Tonyan as well. For my flex, he says Reynolds, Hollins, or Shakir. So I guess Shakir is the rookie from Buffalo. Yep. I think I skip him. Mac Hollins, and I'm assuming Reynolds is Josh Reynolds and not Craig Reynolds, but either way, I think you probably go, even if Amon-Ra St. Brown plays, maybe you still go Josh Reynolds.
It's probably Josh Reynolds of those three. I would actually start Craig Robinson, actor Craig Robinson, over Craig Reynolds if that were the option for me, but I'll go Josh Reynolds out of those three. The Chiefs, the Mac Hollins one is interesting, but looks like Hunter Renfro's back, so I'm gonna temper my expectations.
Yeah, he is. I think in the last couple of weeks, Renfro was ruled out, I think, like right away. He was ruled out like on a Thursday night for Sunday night games. So this week he is actually playing. Like, he's active. So I think you can feel better about benching Mac Hollins if Hunter Renfro is active. I think that does it for, at the very least, the London questions. Let's do one more before we get out of here. I see one here. Flex start. There's no name on this one, but flex start T. Higgins in Cincinnati or... Okay, so it says G. Wilson, and then in brackets it says NYG. I assume that's just a typo, and he means Garrett Wilson for the Jets, I would assume.
Yeah, and I want to know who else is on his team if he's got T. Higgins as a flex option. That's what I want to know. I'm going T. Higgins. I love T. Higgins. He's been excellent this season. I know everybody wanted to talk up Jamar Chase, for good reason, because he was great last year. But T. Higgins is wide receiver 12 right now in half PPR scoring. So, T. Higgins for me.
Okay, let's do one more before we get back to the start sits. John and Barry, I need to pick two running backs, Najee Harris, A.J. Dillon. Oh, this was a London question. Missed this one. Najee Harris, A.J. Dillon, Josh Jacobs, and Khalil Herbert. So two running backs, Harris, Dillon, Jacobs, Herbert.
I think I'm going Jacobs and Dillon. I think Najee's in a bad spot this week, and we don't know what Herbert's usage is going to be if David Montgomery plays. And Josh Jacobs is good. He was great last week. So I think I'm going to go with those two just because of the uncertainty of Herbert, and Najee's got a terrible matchup against the Bills.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Josh Jacobs. Yeah, I think too, I would like to say Khalil Herbert. I really would. And Najee Harris has some draft capital attached to him, like relatively speaking. But yeah, I think all things considered, those are probably the two safest options. So yeah, we'll go with Jacobs and Dillon. So that does it for the text line questions here in the Fantasy Show in week 5. But don't forget, we will get to all of your questions. Even though we didn't get to all of them on the air, we will answer all of them at 590-590. Name and location before the 1 p.m. kickoff games go in a couple of hours. So still a lot of time to send us text line questions at 590-590 for the people's text line. You can also tweet at us as well at SNS Alley with two L's at Maddie Mar 89. But let's continue with our start sits. It's the Seattle Seahawks taking on the New Orleans Saints. For the Saints, at the very least, it sounds like Alvin Kamara is going to play. I believe Jameis Winston is not going to play. Andy Dalton getting another start. So if that's the case, I think Kamara is up. His presence for Dalton probably is better just overall for this offense, just so you don't see Andy Dalton hurling the ball downfield, but still no Michael Thomas either, which is all obviously a good thing for everyone who wants to visit the Olave Garden this week, Matt.
Oh man, was he good again last week? I mean, this guy, wide receiver 16 on the year. There was a lot of talk show that, oh, which of the rookie wide receivers is going to show out? And Jahan Dotson's been really good. He probably had the least of expectations for the first round wide receivers, but Jahan Dotson's been really good. Drake London's been really good. Chris Olave's been really good. Garrett Wilson's been really good. George Pickens had the great week last week. I mean, and Alec Pierce has been good the last 3 weeks. This is a little bit shocking because we didn't expect this, but Chris Olave has been lights out and he's a must start. I've got him in the wide receiver 2 conversation because the Seahawks defense is not very good. I think this is going to be probably a little bit more high scoring than people think, but also Kamara, there's got to be a bounce back coming, right? Like he's way too talented to not have a bounce back. And I'm hoping that this is the week that he does it.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Seahawks defense is awful. Like they're terrible, right? They give up the 4th most rushing yards per game and the 2nd most red zone drips on the year. And now you start Alvin Kamara. So I think, yeah, you got to start him if he plays. You got to start Chris Olave. He leads the Saints in targets, receptions, and yards. But I mean, other than that, I don't think I'm not putting too much stock into Landry or Hill. Because again, with Taysom Hill, like we always say,
whoa, show.
Go ahead.
Whoa, I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I said there was a guy that I have to start this week?
Oh, God, no. Tell me it's not Taysom Hill.
It's Taysom Hill. It's Taysom Hill against the worst defense against opposing tight ends, which I know he's not really a tight end. But it was that or go pick up Will Disley, who's playing against the Saints in this game, which is they're like the 2nd best or 3rd best against opposing tight ends. That's because Kyle Pitts is out. And this is everything comes full circle in fantasy football show. I talk to the nth degree about how much I hate Taysom Hill. And here I am starting him this week because I'm a sucker. The only thing that saves my week, and I don't wish this upon anybody, and I will knock on wood here. The only thing that saves me is if Andy Dalton tweaks something and Taysom Hill puts up quarterback numbers in the tight end position. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I it's always such a crapshoot with Taysom Hill, right? I guess you could do worse, but again, I'm not risking it. But hey, you have to. You are forced to risk it. I'm sure there are some other people who are in the same boat. On the Seahawks side of things, Geno Smith has been honestly pretty fantastic. He's been pretty good. He has at least 30 attempts in every game aside from the very first game in week 1, the season opener. He has completed a league high of his passes among starters, qualified starters, with 77.3%. I think against the Saints, who are a better defense than the Lions, certainly probably not a great defense but a better defense, you can probably fire him up as a QB2. But generally speaking, even if they are good against the pass, Geno Smith has been pretty good this year, so I think you can feel okay about it. Maybe a safe floor, let's put it that way, for Geno Smith. Rashad Penny, I know he had a fantastic game last week. He had 17 handoffs for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns. Played against him in multiple leagues, much to my dismay. But this week, I would probably say, again, against a much better defense against the run in the Saints, I would say Penny is still worth starting as an RB3, maybe even an RB2, lower end RB2. But just I would temper expectations after seeing a monster stat line last week. The two guys I think you can feel pretty comfortable about, it would certainly seem, are DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I definitely thought their value would evaporate with Geno Smith, but he throws the ball enough to support both of them. So if you expect WR2 numbers from both of them and you hope for better upside, I think that's probably as good as you'll get.
Yeah, and Tyler Lockett, the last 3 weeks, his stat lines are 9 catches, 107 yards, 9 catches, 76 yards, 6 catches, 91 yards, and in those 3 games has 11, 11, and 8 targets for a grand total of 30 targets. So his numbers are there. DK Metcalf had the monster game last week against and matched up a little bit against Jeff Okuda, which we were that was one thing that we were really surprised about. But DK Metcalf last week, 7 catches, 149 yards. The week before, 5 catches, 64 yards and a touchdown. He's got 22 targets his last 2 weeks. I think we're good with Geno Smith and these two guys.
Let's move on. Let's boogie through these next couple of games. Dolphins at Jets. No Tua, right? He is out, I guess, indefinitely. It's not very clear as to whether he will be back anytime soon, as it should be. He got rocked pretty good in 2 consecutive weeks. And now the NFL has changed the way they're going to be handling concussions, essentially. They've completely changed it. So that's good, but it does mean that Tua is not going to be the beneficiary of those rules. He is out. Teddy Bridgewater finds himself in the starting role. Look, you're going to start Tyreek Hill, I think, no matter what. He certainly looks like he is QB-proof, which is, I guess, good to know because he wasn't drafted as highly as he had been since he was traded to the Dolphins. But Jaylen Waddle is where I'm not sure. He came right back down to earth. It was only 2 of 5 targets for 39 yards in week 4. He did have an 85% snap percentage against the Bengals, but still, other guys had better target shares despite him being on the field a lot. It was kind of weird. So I think, again, temper expectations for Jaylen Waddle, but WR2 for me. I guess Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert are both flex plays. Raheem Mostert might get a little bit of a bump because as long as he's healthy, he certainly seems to be the guy who is taking the lead back role in Miami.
Yeah, and Chase Edmonds is kind of a touchdown dependent flex play based on his workload. Mostert has outtouched him by a ton the last 2 weeks, and Teddy Bridgewater might be an interesting spot start today. Especially in 2 QB leagues, the Jets they're not particularly horrible against any position, but they're also not great. And both Miami receivers are dealing with injuries. Tyreek Hill has a quad injury. He's probably going to play. Jaylen Waddle has the groin injury. He's probably going to play. I do believe that teams are just going to say, we're going to shut down one and then, you know, beat us with the other guy. And that's kind of what happened. The Bills did that. We saw that last week with the Bengals. I think that's part of the conversation here. So don't be surprised if one of them gets shut down one game and one of them has a good game the other, because I don't think we're going to see too many games where both of them pop off for, you know, 120 plus yards, which we saw a few weeks ago against Baltimore. I just don't see that happening.
On the Jets side of things, Breece Hall seems to have kind of grabbed the reins in New York, right? He turned 17 carries into 66 yards and a game-winning touchdown. He also, I think Zach Wilson just missed him on another wheel route touchdown, which would have boosted his fantasy day even more. So even against the Dolphins, who are a decent defense, I think you can still start Breece Hall as a flex play. Basically, the Dolphins are a good enough defense that I still think you can start guys against them. I think just be aware that you probably downgrade them all, at least for me, like a tier, right? So if Corey Davis would usually be a WR3, I'm going to have him as a flex play. I might actually sit Garrett Wilson until I see some better chemistry between Zach Wilson and his brother Wilson, let's say. But it's not like it's terrible. It's just you might have better options than Garrett Wilson at this point, unless you're like me and you're suffering like tons of injuries to guys like Dotson and Keenan Allen and Michael Thomas and so on. Maybe you have to start Garrett Wilson or Elijah Moore, but until I see it with my own eyes, I think the only guy I want to start, because you know there's a connection there, is Corey Davis.
Corey Davis has been great, and I like him as a wide receiver 3 play today. The big question is Xavier Howard going to play for the Dolphins? Because if he doesn't, that opens up a little bit of a conversation with Wilson or Moore. I think I have Wilson just slightly ahead of Moore just because of performance this season, but I'm definitely with you on that one. I also agree. Breece Hall has kind of taken this job, and he's really moved Michael Carter into a lot more of a flex play rather than a back-end RB2, and he's low-end flex conversation. But in a game where they may have to throw the ball a lot, he could get some work in the passing game. So it's a little bit of a punt play in the flex. I do think that there's some better options out there. Like, I would rather have a guy like Adam Thielen this week. So, but yeah, I think Garrett Wilson ahead of Elijah Moore and definitely Corey Davis in the conversation.
Let's move on to Falcons at Bucks. We kind of tackled this one to a degree when we were doing the text line questions. And again, you can shoot us text line questions at 590-590 for any start sit cues you have. We'll get to all of those before 1 p.m. Eastern. Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley, popular pickups this week. I'm sitting them both this week because the Buccaneers rush defense, very stingy. They haven't allowed a 60-yard rushing performance yet or surrendered a rushing touchdown until last week. And still, it wasn't exactly like, it wasn't like a long TD run. It was like just jammed in there. So I generally speaking, don't love running backs unless it's like a Nick Chubb type of guy against the Tampa Bay rush defense. So maybe Allgaier and Huntley are sits, but it will be an interesting situation just to monitor to see what the split is. Because if let's say Allgaier is getting like 70% of the carries versus Caleb Huntley's 30%, then maybe Caleb Huntley, I mean, you probably didn't spend a ton of money on him fab wise, but still maybe not a guy you have to necessarily roster. He did have a pretty good game against Cleveland last week, but still only action in just the two games heading into week five and half the snaps Allgaier had in week four. Probably a similar split. Let's be real. Probably a similar split. The only guy really from this Falcons offense, especially with Kyle Pitts out, you can feel good about starting is probably Drake London, as it has been all season long. But after that, I mean, I'm not sure if you're starting, like, I don't know, Olamide Zaccheaus or anything like that.
No, it's kind of a stay away outside of Drake London for me. And I feel like this is going to be a bad one for the Falcons. No Kyle Pitts, as we mentioned. I wonder if that injury has been bothering him all year. And this was kind of, I know he didn't appear on the injury report, but guys lie. I do wonder how much that injury has been bothering Kyle Pitts this season, because listen, this has been horrible. Like, he had one catch for 25 yards last week.
Yeah, not good.
It's been brutal. But I'm willing to go with Drake London, and even he had a tough week last week against the Browns. He's kind of in the flex play conversation because Kyle Pitts isn't taking any eyes away from him.
On the Bucs side of things, it's a pretty short conversation because you're starting Brady. Now that he has all his targets back, he is you're predictably looking much better. So you're starting Tom Brady. You're starting Leonard Fournette. He didn't have a great day, certainly, against the Chiefs. I certainly expect him to have a much better day against the Atlanta Falcons. And certainly if you think the Buccaneers are going to win this game, and I have a feeling that the Buccaneers are going to be a popular survivor pool pick this week, if you think they're going to win and go up early, then you certainly want to start Leonard Fournette, because the positive game script will benefit both him and Rashad White, certainly. But I think Leonard Fournette's going to be still the guy getting most carries, unless they're up by, like, I don't know, 40 points or something. But still, you're starting Mike Evans, you're starting Chris Godwin. I think that's probably it, right? Like, I don't know if there's enough consistency to start either Julio or Russell Gage or Cameron Brate on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, Brate is out with the concussion, so it looks like a Cade Otton week, whatever that means. Julio is also banged up. Russell Gage is banged up, so I'm just going to go with the two. I'm curious to see, again, what Rashad White's volume is. We saw what happened last week. He had five catches for 50 yards. Can he repeat those numbers? I do believe that we're starting to see the Rashad White breakout.
Yeah, definitely a player you need to roster. Absolutely. I think I'm not sure if you're going to start him this week, but I mean, someone who needs to be on your bench at the very least, because if something does happen to Leonard Fournette, or if they just start using him more, especially with other guys not being as reliable, like the tight end position, like Julio, like Gage, then maybe you might see, you made the comparison to James White a couple of times. And if he occupies that role for Tom Brady in this Bucs offense, I think you will find that he does have a lot more value. So that's a quick check of the start sits for week five. We still have a couple more to go, about six more to go. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll roll through the rest of them and still your texts at 590-590, name and location for the People's Text Line. We'll get to all of those before 1 p.m. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. To the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One more segment to go before we make way. Packers-Giants going on right now. Kickoff just happened about 8 minutes ago. Get to all your news and notes here, all your start sits, and again, the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. We'll get to all of those remaining text line questions before 1 p.m. I think I just saw Aaron Rodgers just absolutely unleash a frozen rope throw on third down to Randall Cobb, your favorite player, Matt.
Of course it was, because it wasn't Romeo Dubs or Alan Lazard.
A 35-yard pass to all people at Randall Cobb, but we'll see. That game is just a couple minutes old, so we'll keep on checking that throughout the next half hour or so. Actually, we just got about like 18 minutes to go here, Matt, so let's run through these ones real quick. Titans at Commanders, our next start sit. Look, this is all probably a short conversation. Treylon Burks, I think, is on the IR, like the short-term IR. So he is done for a little while, which basically means it's Derrick Henry and Robert Woods, and that's basically it.
Yep. We can move on.
Robert Woods, 167 yards on 13 receptions and a touchdown through four games. Not great, but I mean, without Burks, like, someone has to catch the ball, you would think, right? So maybe it'll just be Derrick Henry. He seems to be more involved in the passing game this season. The Washington Commander side of things, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier. With no Jahan Dotson, it does make life a little easier. You would think for Scary Terry McLaurin, certainly, and Curtis Samuel. I think Curtis Samuel is the guy you probably start on a weekly basis just because of target share, specifically in half or full PPR leagues. But beyond him, the running game just doesn't look great. I guess if you have to start Antonio Gibson, yes. But week four, a pretty big dip in snap share from 65% in week one to just 41% last week against the Cowboys. It's just, and now you have Brian Robinson in there, which is a great story, but fantasy purposes, it becomes much more of a quagmire. So I would avoid as many guys of this backfield as possible. But if you had to start someone, I guess it's Gibson.
Yeah, and Tennessee's defense, like we mentioned, not good. Seventh most points to quarterbacks, fourth most points to wide receivers, sixth most points to tight ends. Like, if Logan Thomas plays, he's a good fill-in, but I would be very, very leery about that start only because he was kind of a late add to the injury report. Other than that, I agree. It's Curtis Samuel for me, and it's Terry McLaurin, and that's pretty much it. Watch Carson Wentz have a good day today because the Titans suck.
Yeah, I'll probably throw the ball to J.D. McKissick like 25 times.
100 times, yeah.
49ers at Panthers. Let's start with the 49ers. You can probably start Jeff Wilson Jr. because he is the guy getting the ball more often than anyone else. He had 74 yards and a touchdown last week against the Rams, but still most of those yards came off of one play, a 32-yard touchdown scamper. Outside of that, he had a 2.4 yards per carry and had carry the ball 17 times for 42 yards outside of the touchdown run. But still, the Panthers have allowed the seventh most runs to running backs. So you're still starting him as like a better flex play, I would say. Debo Samuel is still going to be started every single week. But apart from that, like, even George Kittle, like, I might honestly sit George Kittle because while Trent Williams is out, who is a very good tackle, obviously, even though he's a little older, while Trent Williams is out, George Kittle, who is a monstrous blocker, is basically being used as like a sixth offensive tackle. So he just doesn't run that many routes. He's on the field a lot. He just doesn't run as many routes because they need him. They need him to keep their quarterback upright in the running game going. So if that's the case, then yeah, I don't know. I think you might have to sit George Kittle. Is that crazy, Matt?
Well, let's say I had David Njoku and George Kittle, I'd be starting David Njoku over George Kittle this week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Same with you probably don't have TJ Hawkinson and George Kittle, but I would be making the same move there. It's a barren landscape, we know that, but that San Francisco offense is super weird right now. I don't know what's going on. And it, you know, even Brandon Ayuk, he's become a punt play. He's a really good wide receiver, but it's either Jeff Wilson or it's Debo Samuel, and it feels like that's pretty much it.
On the other side of this matchup, it's pretty much Christian McCaffrey for the Panthers, who I imagine they're just going to force feed this guy the ball. You would hope. He certainly got a nicer load carry, share carry, whatever you want to call it, basically all of week four, which is nice to see. He's still limited because of Baker Mayfield overall, but still, I think you have to start CMC as much as humanly possible. DJ Moore, he had 11 targets last week. He got six of them for 50 yards. That's his highest target share, and he's still, it was a fine target share. You can't sit him, I think, out of necessity, but it's not looking good for old DJ.
And a really good wide receiver who I thought, well, Baker Mayfield's got to be the best quarterback that he's had since, you know, he's been in the league, basically, because Cam Newton was kind of broken by the time that DJ Moore got his hands on him. I think that the DJ Moore breakout is coming because they know that they have to throw the ball. I think in this one, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot just because this Niners defense is really good across the board. I'm putting DJ Moore in the flex position right now just because, again, like we say, got to throw the ball to somebody. The big thing on CMC is he's RB6 now, show. Like, we're starting to finally, like you said, he's getting more involved. Last week, the running game wasn't good for him, but my goodness, I believe he had 9 catches last week. So I think they're finally starting to get it. I think Christian McCaffrey gets a ton of work in the passing game this week because I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball against the 49ers.
As someone who took him with a second overall pick, I certainly hope you are very correct. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Arizona Cardinals at Arizona today. Look, you can start a whole ton of Eagles. You're obviously going to start Jalen Hurts. Don't need us to tell you that. I think actually Miles Sanders has taken control of this backfield. I'm kind of shocked. There's no real reason based on production to expect some kind of change barring an injury, which you can never predict. But even though Sanders got 27 rushing attempts in last week's game, it was a monsoon in Philly. That's probably not going to be the case today. So maybe slightly less rushing attempts for him. But still, I think you can feel good about starting him as like a lower end RB2 when the weather is good. AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, you're starting. And Dallas Goedert. Like, there are a lot of guys. The passing offense in Philly has been pretty good. So it supports a lot of guys. And those guys have largely been Brown, Smith, and Goddard.
And we were kind of surprised at how, look, we talked about Jalen Hurts. Maybe he's not the future. Like, he is the absolute future at quarterback for the Eagles. There is no question about that. And you mentioned Miles Sanders. He's RB9 in half PPR.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't think anybody saw that come. Like, the guy didn't score a touchdown last year and they didn't like him. And there were so many things that went against him. And all of a sudden it's like, well, you have to start Miles Sanders every week because he's a stud. I liked him coming out of college at Penn State, but I didn't expect this usage, especially what we've seen for the first little bit of him in his career. So yeah, I like it. Devontae Smith, I like, of course, AJ Brown, obviously Dallas Goedert. Like, this is a really good fantasy offense and they produce every single week.
Yeah, hey, and the Eagles defense also not a bad play on a general week-to-week basis, although I feel against the Cardinals you can probably find better options, because the thing is about the Cards, even if they get completely blown out, they still seem to find some ways to make up some garbage time points on the back end of games. And if that's the case, it will hurt the fantasy defenses to a certain degree. Having said that, if you don't want to really hope for like a touchdown or an interception or a fumble return for a touchdown, because you can't really count on those. But still, the Phillies defense definitely worth rostering, I think, going forward against lesser teams. For the Cards, you're starting Kyler Murray. I think James Conner and RB2, maybe a flex play depending on how the rest of your team stacks up. But Marquise Brown, he leads the offense in yards per reception with 11.5. He's been targeted 11 or more times in every game after week one, and that peaked at 17 with 14 catches against the Rams in week three. So you can definitely start Marquise Brown. You're sitting everyone else not named Zach Ertz. This will change when DeAndre Hopkins comes back to a degree, but for now I think you can fire up Hollywood as much as you can.
He's been excellent. And we said that the breakout was coming. Like, the target share was there. We saw how he was being used in the offense. And we've also talked about how there's not very many other guys to throw to in that offense. Agree with you on the James Conner. He's a flex play. Like, the Eagles have been really good against the run. Been really impressive on defense. Actually, I'm going to go against your thinking here. I think that Kyler Murray is under duress all day. I think the Eagles end up putting up some numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, 3 or 4 sacks and a couple of turnovers. But yeah, Hollywood Brown, 68 or more yards in the last 3 games. He obviously had the monster game against the Rams where he went for 14 catches for 140 yards. But he's also getting the target share to go along with these gaudy numbers. He has 11 targets, 17 targets, and 11 targets his last 3 games, and he has 2 touchdowns on the season. He's a player that you probably took in the mid rounds, and he's definitely performed above expectations, and he's been really, really good this season. Even when DeAndre Hopkins comes back, Hollywood Brown is an element of this offense that they don't have with DeAndre Hopkins, creating separation and that speed. I still think he's going to be really, really good once Hopkins comes back.
Cowboys at Rams is our next one up here. We have 3 more games to go. You know, you look at the rest of this Cowboys offense after CeeDee Lamb, it's Michael Gallup. Probably that's it. Like, you're starting Lamb no matter what, even with Cooper Rush. He's actually produced pretty well. So I don't think you're starting Rush himself. And I think, generally speaking, Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, they are in a split backfield, which is not great for fantasy purposes. If you're in a PPR league or a half PPR league, I don't mind the play of Tony Pollard, but still, I don't think you can expect more than him other than flex plays. But Michael Gallup, he did catch a touchdown. Might be a decent flex this week after, because the Rams have allowed 30.7 fantasy points to wide receivers. And I imagine this week with both Lamb and Gallup there, it might be more of the same. Dalton Schultz, certainly a favorite of Dak Prescott, who's not playing. Not so much for Cooper Rush. So I'm sitting Dalton Schultz until I see the return of Dak Prescott. For the Rams, it's a split backfield. Again, Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson. I would avoid both if humanly possible, because the Cowboys defense is not so bad. So basically that means it's Cooper Kupp. I'm staying as far away from Allen Robinson as possible. Tyler Higbee, I guess he's a TE1 this week because of the elite snap share, but he doesn't see a lot of targets, but it still certainly seems that Stafford favors him at least more than Allen Robinson.
He favors everybody more than Allen Robinson, seemingly. And they did talk about, this is not all on Allen Robinson. So is this on Matthew Stafford? Maybe. I hate Stafford as a play this week. I think the Cowboys are going to kill that Rams offensive line, which has been absolutely atrocious this week. I don't think that changes. The only guy that I'm starting with any confidence, of course, is Cooper Kupp. And after that, I'm not touching any other Ram here. Maybe Tyler Higbee if I need a spot start at tight end, but even that I'm not super comfortable with.
The Sunday night game tonight is Bengals at Ravens. I'm actually looking forward to this one. This one I think has a chance to be a pretty high scoring affair, which of course means it's going to be like a 9-6 game or something like that. But I think you're starting a lot of Bengals in this one. Like certainly you're starting Joe Burrow against a Baltimore Ravens secondary that has come together, but still not great, especially against elite talent at QB. So I think you're starting Joe Burrow. You're still starting Joe Mixon, even though it hasn't been the prettiest stat line. He did have 74 yards and a touchdown, but still 20 or more touches, which means that he gets a lot of volume, which is not super common for running backs anymore. So you're still starting him because of that sheer volume for Mixon. You're starting Jamar Chase. You're starting T. Higgins. The real question for me is, do you start Tyler Boyd? I say yes as a flex play, but nothing more than a flex play.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you there. I actually have the same thing written down. This should be a high scoring affair, and will definitely be treated to the opposite just because. But yeah, I also think this is the week they get Jamar Chase more involved, just because that Ravens secondary is just, it's not very good. Hopefully the weather is better than it was last week, because that will mean more scoring. This is also kind of a little bit of a bounce back for Joe Burrow. I think this is a great week for him. I think all three wide receivers get involved. It's a good spot for the Bengals and even for the Ravens. I understand that their defense has ranked very well among fantasy purposes, but they haven't really played anybody of a good offense outside of Miami. And even Miami lost Tua, and they were a little bit toothless in that Thursday night game. I like a lot of guys in this game. Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews is going to have a bounce back after having, I think it was 16 receiving yards last week against the Bills. That's not happening again. Devin Duvernay is a good start this week. And I would be really curious. Listen, we talked a lot about Isaiah Likely before the season started and how, maybe he's going to be the third option in this offense. It's been Duvernay, but with no Rashad Bateman show, I wonder if he's kind of a sneaky punt play, because certainly has the athleticism that they like among tight ends, and maybe he's better than DeMarcus Robinson at this point. So he'd be a really interesting flyer as well this week.
And J.K. Dobbins, we haven't talked about him too much, but he did have two touchdowns last week. So good to see that from one of the more intriguing players in fantasy football because of the injuries. And then, the talent is there. So he had 63 total yards and a pair of TDs in limited action. So I got to imagine that's going to continue, at least for now. And as he gets more healthy, he'll be continually worked in. I got a couple minutes left here. Let's wrap up with Raiders at Chiefs. A lot of fantasy potential in this one. I like Derek Carr this week because the Chiefs defense do give up a lot of points to opposing QBs. So I like the start for Carr, even if he is slightly outside of the top 10, but still, I think you can get him in your lineup. Josh Jacobs, we answered some of these Jacobs questions on the text line. I think he's an RB2 this week. Devontae Adams and Darren Waller are WR1s and TE1s. The question for me is Hunter Renfrow. I'm gonna place him as a WR3 because it was an underwhelming first week for him. And then he was injured. It hasn't basically played since. So He is active. He is going to play. He's a slot specialist. I know that some of that gets eaten up by Adams, but still, I like Hunter Renfro as a WR3, although you can probably find better options this week even so.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I do think the Chiefs win it pretty comfortably, but that means a lot of the Raiders throwing the ball. Josh Jacobs was great last week. I still like him as an RB2 this week. My only concern is, does the game script take him out of the play a little bit? I still think they'll use him in the passing game, but it's super interesting going forward. As for the Chiefs, Juju has 8 targets in 3 of the 4 weeks. He's the clear number one receiver on this team, even if the numbers don't necessarily dictate that week in and week out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been really good. He's certainly getting the touchdowns. He may finish with like 15 touchdowns and 600 total yards, but whatever, you'll take it. And Travis Kelce is the obvious here. Patrick Mahomes is going to have another big week, I think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. The Raiders defense has not been super great. Real quick, what do you think? Juju over or under 50 receiving yards this week?
I think over, only because the Raiders secondary is just not very good. They give up a lot of points. They give up a lot of yards. I'm very comfortable with Juju this week as like a wide receiver too.
I like it. All right, Matt, that does it for our start sits. Good luck with Taysom Hill this week, man.
Yeah, I know. Look at me. The fantasy world comes full circle where Matt has to start Taysom Hill after telling you, do not start Taysom Hill anywhere. Please don't. Please don't. And here I am. Fantasy football sometimes sucks.
Yeah, time is a flat circle. That's Matt Marchese. I'm Sho Ali. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show. We're back next Sunday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the Sportsnet Radio Network.